Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. My name is Abby Murphy.
What up?
You have to say your name.
My name's Ryan. They know my name. I'm so famous.
Okay. Everybody, I just want to go ahead and just start off this podcast with a bang. Okay? So here it is. I may have a concussion.
Yeah, Abby. Well, here's the thing is you can tell them why, but the reason why I was kind of checking you a little hard earlier is because I couldn't tell if you were being a little dramatic or if you were being serious.
When I told you that I think I might have a concussion?
No, you didn't. That's not what you said. That's what I said.
Oh, what did I say? See, proves my point exactly. I might have a concussion. I didn't even remember that I didn't say that.
Okay.
What do you mean you were checking me hard earlier?
Well, because sometimes you can be a little like on the dramatic side.
Yeah, but not necessarily with like injuries.
I know.
More so with emotions.
Yeah.
So, I would say.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So anyways, if I sound a little bit down, it's because I may quite actually have a concussion.
What did you do?
So this is what I did. So I'm vlogging today, vlogging for the people, because that's the thing that we're doing now is we vlog. Mm-hmm. And so I'll take a day, and today was just, I'm also very tired, which I feel like I wasn't until I hit my head. But anyways, so today's the day that I chose to
Humpty
vlog.
Humpty Dumpty fell down the block and hit his head.
That is sensitive.
Why?
Because I do have a bump on my head. Not laughing at that joke.
All right, continue.
So I was vlogging and I was trying to get a cool, I was like holding the vlog camera, trying to get like a cool shot.
Is it on video?
Of, no, because I didn't hit the button. I like went to hit the button right as I hit my head. So I was like walking, looking into the screen, trying to get the like weight rack in the video, and then my head just went what, like I was walking and what, bam. I mean, it
like you didn't even have time to react to like soften it.
No, it like hit it straight on, like smacked it, and it hurt so bad. And I literally like I didn't realize what happened until my head started like throbbing. It was so bad. It's not even like I'll show the camera, but like I just, there's a little shiner on there.
There's a shiner for sure.
But I am a little bit nervous because usually when you hit your head, you want it to kind of like poke out and get big, because that means that nothing is happening internally, but not as much as I feel like it should have for the amount of force that hit my head, because it was like the harsh edge of the barbell. Like it was literally the side of the barbell, like the very sharp part, and it slammed right into the corner of like...
I'm not even looking at you when you're talking. I'm just looking at your third eye.
Well, that's why I'm wearing a beanie. But it hasn't turned purple yet, which is good. But I'm nervous because the show is next week. I feel like bruising will probably go down by then.
Oh, it'll
though.
Be fine.
Yeah. But I am going to Texas in 2 days. And so...
be a funny story.
Oh, of course it will. At least I can say I was in the gym, so I was working on my fitness.
Here's the thing, though, is, you know, hate that you hit your head. But what makes it even worse is that you didn't even get a... like content out of it.
All right. I videoed after, because
no,
I went.
I'm saying that you didn't get content of you hitting your head. Like if
I don't want to relive that moment.
If you're going to hit your head, you might as well get a funny video out of it. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's so funny for me. Maybe I'll just go hit the other side of it to even it out. And then, but I had to sit down. So I, hit my head so hard. I like immediately felt like I was going to vomit. And then I was like, I'm uneasy right now. So I had to go sit down because it kind of like knocked the breath out of me. Like it was a hard hit, y'all. I'm not trying to be dramatic. It was a hard hit. And yeah, it like knocked the breath out of me a little bit. And then I sat down and started. I said, what would Ryan want me to do in this situation? Video it. So then I turned on the vlog camera to get
no,
content.
You did not.
Yeah, I did. And I started talking. I couldn't form words. I was like trying to like explain what happened and I couldn't, because I was like, and I just like started breathing. Like it was hard. It was a hard hit.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You make me seem to be out like I'm like some crazy person.
You're not, but you would have wanted me to video it.
I definitely would have liked a video.
Yeah.
Especially on vlog day.
So anyways, so yeah.
what better day to get yourself knocked out by vlog day?
I know, but now I like can't speak to the camera. Like I go to turn the camera on and I can't like... it's not like I can't form words.
See, this is where I'm want to challenge. This is where I'm going to be the challenger. And like, are you being dramatic or?
I'm not being dramatic. I'm just like, I want to just sit and do nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Because my head is still throbbing.
Do you have a headache?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... Did you take any medicine for it?
No.
I'm not surprised by that.
But I did eat.
Good.
So I was hoping...
I'm glad you ate.
I was hoping that that was going to help it. But it's just like throbbing. And anytime I move my eyebrow, it hurts.
Yeah, I bet.
Which kind of stinks that I have to act for 12 hours tomorrow.
Yeah, that's insane.
So that leads into a perfect update of I Am In A Show. And it is... By the time you hear this, it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll be in 3 days. I'll be performing in 3 days.
Yeah. What are you performing in? By the time
you hear this, I'm in Greece. I'm Patty Simcox, the cheerleader. It's really fun. And I am also tired.
Yeah. Speaking of tired, I have something to say.
Well, I think I'm realizing, I have realized that although this is fun, this will be my last one.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. Like, this has been very confirming that I don't want to continue this path anymore, which is really nice to feel because I left theater. I've said this before on the podcast, but I kind of left theater with, like, you know, just in a deep, dark place. Bad taste in your mouth. Yeah. And so I'm glad I could go back, do it, and confirm, like, okay, you really don't want to do this as a career. Like, yeah. I don't have to second guess it and be like, oh, am I just walking away because I'm in a hard season of my life, or do I really just not want to do it? And it's like, no, Abby, you're the strongest you've been in a while and you still don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Which is nice. What were you going to say?
Well, you get asked this a lot with your running. Like, right now you have a really hectic schedule as far as rehearsal hours are quite literally forever long. And you also have another job and you have school. People ask a lot about motivation. Like, that is one of the most common questions that we get is, hey, I'm trying to get into running, but I'm lacking motivation. How do you keep your motivation every day to run? We get that question all the time. So I think we should talk about that a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what is your take on that? Because I have thoughts, but I would like to hear what you have to say about it first.
I don't have the motivation. I have the dedication. And
what's the difference?
Motivation is based on feeling. Dedication is based on action and just doing it.
Yeah.
I think something that I tell myself is, like, it's better to do it halfway than not do it at all. So, like, if I wake up for a run, yeah, it may not be my best run. I may not feel like I want to do it, but I'm still going to go do it. I may not want to have the best lift of my life, but today I was like, okay, well, I showed up. I'm going to get 30 minutes in. It's not going to be a full hour. It may not be the best workout I've ever had, but I did 4 exercises. That's a full workout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even 2 exercises is better than 1. And I feel like so often we have this all or nothing mindset where it's like, if I don't go all in and do it and to the best of my ability and grind it out and blah, 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 then it's just not worth doing it at all. But that's just not the case. Like, consistency is so much more beneficial than, to a certain extent, consistency is so much more beneficial and will produce better results than efficiency. And, you know, you will have those times where it's like, it's better than, you know, this workout was better on Monday than it was on Friday. Sure. Awesome. But you still did both.
Yeah.
And I think there's also, when you get more specific into which teaser, if you need a coach who has this kind of mindset, maybe look into someone who may be offering that here coming soon. But what I will say is that, if you really want to make it practical and it's like, okay, Abby, that's all fine and dandy, but, like, I'm not in tune with my body like that. Like, I just need to start. I don't really know how to blah, 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 blah. You know, great. Start from ground zero. Just ease yourself into it. And then you'll be able to start navigating. Okay. Like, Mondays and Wednesdays, I go a little bit easier and I do Pilates. And then Tuesdays, Thursdays, I go lift.
Because you've never done Pilates?
I've never done Pilates. I've heard it's really hard though.
Do we have Pilates in Bowling Green?
Mm-hmm.
We should go try a class.
Well, I've taken it, like, before in my life, but I don't do it consistently, but it's, like, popping off right now. It is.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think just waking up, you know, there are those days where I am motivated and I feel really good.
Yeah.
And that's great. And that's an icing on the top of the cake.
One thing about that, though, I'll say is the days that I feel most motivated to go work out, I typically get the best lift in. I usually get the best run in. But I will say the most rewarding afterwards is when I go and I don't feel like it.
Interesting. I would say, honestly, the opposite. Like, I feel like I fall into the trap of feeling really motivated and waking up with a lot of motivation and then walking in and crashing for some reason, because I have all this pent up motivation and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the best ever. And it's almost like I set my expectations too high to where then I finish and I'm like, but when I walk in with no expectation, I'm like, I'm just going to try to get through it. I end up going like 15 to 20 minutes longer because I just am like, okay, lock in, zone in, get it done, go fast. The faster I go, the less downtime I have, the more less like piddling and dawdling. And I'm just like, okay, I don't want to be here at all. So I'm just going to get in and get out and get it done. Then I end up being like, oh my gosh, I can keep going. I'm going to do another however many reps of this.
Also, for those listening, Abby, your podcast settings aren't on like 1.5 speed. Abby is just zooming right now.
Okay, well, you also speak kind of slow.
I do, but you're speaking fast today. I know. You're like kind of... Whew.
Well, I don't know. Like maybe it's just because I've been vlogging.
Yeah, maybe.
Which speed do you like better, my speed or Ryan's speed?
I talk very slow. I'm very aware of it. And I actually probably talk faster on the podcast than I do, even more so than I do whenever I'm just sitting down.
Whenever I was listening to Janine and Caleb's podcast that we were on, shout out, go listen to it.
Was I talking slow?
It wasn't bad at all, which I appreciate it. And I do love that you speak slow because it's really good for someone like me that speaks fast. And it's nice to have that balance and remind me like, okay, be patient and listen first.
Look at us, just plus minus, peanut butter jelly, Shaq, Kobe.
I've been having butter on everything right now. You said peanut butter and that reminded me, peanut butter on toast, peanut butter on potatoes. I mean, not peanut butter, butter on toast, butter on potatoes, butter on dates.
You are on one right now.
I'm loving it. You,
Abby is crazy right
Maybe
now.
It's because it's my concussion brain.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I listened to Janine and Caleb's podcast and you were speaking real slow, which is great. You had some great points, but there was a lot of like, it was like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But I also noticed how many times I said like a lot. I literally kept saying like, and blah, 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 like, blah, 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 like, and I was like, oh my gosh, which I feel like we notice it a lot more listening to ourselves than other people would, but I still feel like it's something interesting.
That's something
to kind of like take note of.
I've been trying to work on that, and it's really hard to not say like, especially when you're trying to not say it. So, because you'll catch yourself thinking about not saying it while you're telling a story or having a conversation, and then you kind of jumble your words and you forget what you're even saying.
I know. I'm being mindful of it right now too. I was trying to wait and see when you were going to say it.
Yeah.
We should do a challenge right now. The first person to say like has to do a dare from the other person.
Okay.
Starting now.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it. Would you like to give an NBA update?
You would.
Yeah.
No, I want to go back to the motivation versus dedication thing. I think we should sit there for a little bit because I have some thoughts on that. I think people are really curious of how we can. I'm trying.
I know.
So
I'm
hard
listening.
Right now.
I'm done.
I quit on the live.
I was
going
to say because I wasn't even listening to what you were saying. I was just listening to if you're saying
and
like.
I was trying to say words, so we can try that off the podcast.
Yeah, we can.
But I think people want to know what's like the practical steps of. Okay, I don't have motivation today. I really don't want to do it. How do you just get yourself to get up and do something? Like how, how can you wake up every morning at 5 a.m. whenever you went to bed at 11 p.m. and had 5 hours of rehearsal that night? Like what does that look like practically?
Well, I know that if I the thing that keeps me dedicated practically is knowing how I feel if I don't do it. And I have to think of that. I have to think of the consequence of that feeling.
Yeah.
Because yes, you don't want to be driven by feelings and motivation, but also like use that as a tool to keep you consistent. Because the days that I do what I set out and plan to do, those are the days that I feel good. And you don't want to feel bad. Like you just don't. Like I have never finished a run and been like, oh, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah, it's the same with reading the word. It's a little different because, you know, our spiritual training is of a lot more value than physical. Mm-hmm. But I've never like finished a day and was like, man, I read way too much in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like I've never like just thought I spent way too much time in prayer today.
I think also you have to evaluate your goals. Mm-hmm. Like with the Bible, like our end goal is to get to heaven to glorify the Father. So it's like you're training for your ultimate future. So that'll keep you consistent.
Yeah. Like, but what if you already have heaven?
Well, then you can't help but want to know more about Jesus.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like accepting Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior over like who you are and everything you do. Like if everything you do is based around that truth, which as Christians, that's what we're called to be, the cornerstone of who we are as people is mm-hmm. the Lord. Like I can't help but want to get closer to him. Yeah. And how do I get closer to him? Reading his word.
It's like whenever you accept Jesus in your heart, there's something that happens where it just produces an obedience and it produces something in you that just longs to know Jesus more mm-hmm. and desire for that relationship. Your desires change. There's scripture that backs that up, but
yeah, totally.
Like my desires have completely changed since I've accepted God in my heart. Like I want to know him more. I want to filter every one of my situations, every one of my choices, every one of my decisions. I want to filter that through a lens that glorifies God. And I want to filter that through, okay, what would Jesus do in this situation?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, taking it back to like training and consistency and using that as like the same thing. Evaluate your goals. Evaluate.
Mm-hmm. This is really good.
Thank you. I feel like there have been so many times in my life where my goal is the driving factor, which mm-hmm. I feel like is very beneficial. Whether that's just your goal is to have a healthy life, whether your goal is to be a healthy mother or be healthy in your old age and be able to open the jar of pickles, or even so young as to like, I want to be on the varsity team my freshman year in high school, or
yeah.
I want to whatever. For me personally, there is a massive difference in my consistency in training, in my mindset in training, when my goal is physique focused rather as opposed to race goal focused. Mm-hmm. Because this October, after I finished the ultra, I was like so excited to get back into the gym, and I didn't even realize part of the reason why I was crashing and burning. There were a lot of factors to that, which I've talked about rest a lot on this podcast, if you want to listen back to some other ones about that. But another added level to that was the driving factor was my looks. Mm. And I was like, I have a runner body right now. Like, remember me telling you, like, I'm getting my muscle back. I want to get my muscle back. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it was to a point for me to where the reason I was walking into the gym was like, okay, time to make my body like look better.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me feels vain, because again, there is nothing, I want to differentiate. There is nothing wrong with having physique focused goals. There is nothing wrong with wanting to change the way your body looks due to certain things. But for me as a person and my convictions and the background that I have with body image and the background that I have with dealing with things, I knew mine wasn't coming from a genuine place. Mm-hmm. Mine was coming from a place of like, well, let's see how much I can, and let's use that as the only thing that's driving me to work out, rather than like, well, I want to be healthy. I want to do this healthily. I want to.
Yeah. It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And that's why I was crashing and burning so much too. Cause I just went all in way too hard. And
yeah,
my goal wasn't to be the best version of myself. My goal was to fit this image that I had set. Yeah. But like I was trying to fit my image, not the image that God made me in his image. Does that make sense? I kind of jumbled my words there a little bit, but like I was trying to fit my image, not his image.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard, and I'm not saying my outlook on it is like benchmark or blank statement for everyone, but for me personally, that's what I fell into the trap of.
Yeah.
And so I think you just have to navigate your goals and also navigate what you've been through, how it's affecting you in your life, and how sustainable it is. Because now that I'm, you know, training for this race, I am so much more consistent, because that goal is to run the race. And yes, I have certain paces that I would love to hit, but again, like in any race, I've said this from the beginning, my goal is to run the race. I never want to cross the finish line and be disappointed.
Yeah, ever. I've heard people talk about that.
I never want it to come down to that. I love running, the joy of running. I never want to lose that. And
I couldn't imagine just I'm very competitive, and pre-Jesus, I was just a lunatic. I was a nutcase. Like, I was crazy. Like, if my outing for, like, I played college baseball, if my pitching outing didn't go exactly how I wanted it to go, I could have thrown very well. But I have stories, and my close friends from junior college will tell you, like, I would punch everything. I would freak out. I wouldn't talk to people. So I'm competitive. I understand that. But now that I've found God and, you know, truly what, you know, drives my life and what matters most, if you think about it, like, I couldn't imagine finishing a race and just being disappointed after you put all of that training and effort into it, and then you spent hours running the race, and then you finish and you're exhausted and you give it your all and you're just like disappointed in yourself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine that.
I know. And I think it's a very person-to-person thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some creators that I follow that
I will say I could imagine that because I was once there, but I would just say that I would not want to go back to that place.
Yeah.
I should say that. I could imagine that for sure. So I don't want to make it seem like people think I'm like, oh, like, you're crazy for caring about your time. Like, I completely get that. Don't get me wrong.
You couldn't imagine choosing that over being proud of yourself for accomplishing
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some creators that I follow that, you know, they're like, oh man, like, I missed this goal. And yeah, I was a little defeated, but they use that as fuel to try again.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think, which is really cool.
I think that's awesome. Again, this is very personal to me, but for me, and knowing how perfectionist mindset I am and how much I genuinely do love running and want to continue to love running and not burn out, I know for me, through all of the years of ups and downs with fitness, that the joy needs to be the driving factor and not the failure. Yeah. And I don't think either one is wrong. I really don't, because like I said, like, they use those failures as fuel to be like, okay. I'm gonna use this and try again. But I do think there is a scary trap when you choose that route.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a fear tactic, and I could see someone going really hard in again and losing that love for it.
I think,
and burning yourself out.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance. Again. There's a balance of, okay, you have to enjoy the journey, because if you don't truly like, if you don't have to base it off of whether you enjoy it or like it or not, but you have to embrace, I guess is the word, embrace the journey. And when days are hard and you don't feel like doing stuff, that's when you look at the goal. And that's when you say, okay, I'm not doing this because I love it right now. I'm not doing it because I like it right now. I'm looking at this goal that I want to achieve, and I have my eyes on that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other times, which is, I feel like, an easier place to get to, or an easier place to stay, is, okay, I'm going to embrace this journey and I'm going to love it while I'm here. And that is a hard place to get to, but I feel like you're at that place, and it's really encouraging, because like, it's really hard to just embrace a journey, love it, and just stick in it.
Hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not talked about enough that, like, I hear a lot of, you know, you got to stay in it, like, hard days, they're going to be hard days, it's going to be a struggle. But I also just want to shed light on how incredible it really is. Like, if it was majority hard days, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably find something else that's a little more joyful and right. that I, you know, do enjoy doing.
Like, you love it.
Like, I love it. If I didn't love running, I would find a different sport that I liked, or I would find a different way to be active and healthy.
You'd golf with me.
Yeah, I would do something that I enjoyed. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, this is hard, and then one day I run the race and it's still hard, but then I cross the finish line and it's fun. Like, no, I would train and never run a race. Mm-hmm. I love training. I love the lifestyle that it gives me. I love waking up feeling accomplished, running. I love zoning out and just listening to my music, listening to my podcasts. I love the spiritual side of it. I get solitude with Jesus. It's mm-hmm. the one time that it is just me in the world that he created, the surroundings, feeling all the elements, the wind, the sometimes rain, the sun, the whatever, the temperature, like the Lord orchestrated all of that. And I just get to like be one with that and speak to him freely. And it's
besides today when you had a crazy person on a bike.
Well, yeah, except for today.
Following you along, videoing you.
Yeah, Ryan videoed me today for the vlog. But still, even when you left, like, I literally was like, Jesus, thank you for someone that cares so much and wants to be alongside me in that. And when you get in the hustle and bustle of the day and work and things and technology, it's hard to have that like dedicated time of just focusing on yourself, what you love, just focusing on the Lord. You know, like I'll be typing on my computer and I can still be, even if I take it outside, say same environment, I'm outside in both scenarios, whether I'm working on my computer or I'm running, I can be alone doing both things, but one is incredibly stimulating and my mind is in 8 million places, and one, my mind gets to be clear.
So would you say that running is just as good for your mental health as it is for your physical?
Oh.
Or do you think it's more beneficial for you? What would you say? Like if you had to give chart.
I would argue that it's more beneficial. I think it depends on what your goals are for health. Like if you're trying to lose weight, running's not the way to go.
Yeah.
Training for a race is not the way. You're probably going to gain weight if you train for a race.
I gained weight training for the ultra.
And it's not bad at all. Like it's just muscle or your body composition is shifting or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of scenarios where running is great for your physical health, depending on what your goals are. Like, hear me. But also, yeah, I would argue that it's better for your mental health than it is for your physical health.
Yeah.
Or at least it's been more impactful in my life mentally than it has physically. Like even growing up before I started training for races, if I felt like I just like upset, I remember so many runs where I was just like, I need to run. And I would just go cry. Like I would just run and cry.
How long did you run for before training for a race?
Like how many years?
Yeah.
I started when I was 13.
And you didn't run a race until I knew you.
Right. I just trained for my first race last year.
Yeah.
Well, I ran like a couple 5Ks and a couple 10Ks.
Oh,
but
okay.
Nothing above. I did one half marathon. And then my sophomore year of college, I started training for the Nashville Marathon. And then I dropped out a week before because I got way too obsessive about it. And I dropped out. And then...
That's crazy.
It was hard. It was really hard. But then I finally felt in a good place last year.
What do you mean obsessive? What?
I was focused on all the wrong things. I was focused on time. I was trying to get as small as possible to go as fast as possible, which those do not equate to each other. Just because you're smaller doesn't mean you go faster.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought at the time. I was just really only focused on time, not the joy of it. And I knew the Lord was just tugging on my heartstrings. I'm like, this is not like, what are you trying to prove? You're going out trying to define who you are by running and by what you can achieve in this race. And I just felt so convicted and I knew I shouldn't. And I knew if I was going to do it the entire time I was running, it would be like, why are you doing this? Like, child, I love you. So why are you doing this? Because you know you shouldn't. I'm telling you, you shouldn't. And I would even during that like build up in training for that, I would have those thoughts. Literally, I would have thoughts of like, why are you running right now? You know you shouldn't be doing this. Which is so crazy now because I go on runs now and it's so life-giving and like I literally feel like Jesus is like proud of me for doing it. But it's just funny to have those two parallels. But the reason I never wanted to like run in high school, I never wanted to really, really train for a race.
You've never been on a running team.
Mm-mm. And I strategically did that because I never wanted to end up not loving it.
I feel like people would find that hard to believe.
Maybe.
That you've never been on like a cross country team.
I've never had a coach.
Yeah.
I've always only been my own coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you've ran two marathons.
Two marathons, one ultra, one half, and a couple 5 and 10Ks.
And you're training for
Austin
right now.
Training for Austin. May do an ultra in January, and then I got Boston in April.
What?
I may do an ultra in January.
What?
I don't know.
Since when?
Since I just thought about it.
Okay.
But
you're kind of crazy.
The reason I never was on a team, never had anyone else do it, was just because I didn't want to lose the love for it. And I've heard so many of my friends do sports that they love and then the coach ruins it for them.
Yeah.
Or there's a bad story or girl drama or something and it just ruins the sport for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just always loved to be able to, I also just never wanted someone else to tell me how to do it,
yeah.
which that might be a control thing, but I just love the freedom that it gives me. And so then if I were to join a team or have a coach, for me personally, again, there's nothing wrong with having a coach. I've thought about having coaches actually, like now at this point. So I might do that. So I may go back on my words. Like, it's not like I'm saying I'm never going to have a coach.
Yeah.
But the thought of like it becoming work kind of, I could see it taking away the joy for me. Because I mean, that's what it ultimately, that's kind of how the whole theater thing started. Like I started equating performing with a grade. And with, you know, just like check marks off a list.
Yeah.
And I lost the love for it.
Very easy to do.
Yeah. There were a lot of other parts to that as well, but that was definitely a factor.
I was going to say, we'll have to do a whole episode on injuries. And because, I mean, you haven't dealt with like a major injury, but you did go through a lot of like with your ED and stuff that we haven't talked about in a while. I think it would be helpful for people to hear that. I mean, we're about to get into questions now, and that could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, maybe we'll dive into, maybe we should do like a question box on that for next
injuries,
week.
Then your ED stuff.
Well, because Ryan has had a really, 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 really bad injury that took him out of, what's it called? Tommy John?
Yeah, I had Tommy John surgery my junior year of college.
Yeah, and it took him out of baseball.
Yeah, for a full year.
Full year, and then he had to play on an injury. And
yeah, I basically played injured my entire fifth year in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can be next week's episode.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Okay, one more thing to touch on before we get into these questions.
What?
What team are you on for Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, because I was going to ask you a question too about, we can do two questions then.
Okay.
What team am I on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't watched it in a while.
Oh, well, these are the people that are left. Joey.
Yeah. Well, Abby thinks Joey's so hot.
I don't think that, but Joey is going to win.
So good. Joey is going to win. And he's America's sweetheart.
He is America's sweetheart. And truly.
Ryan's uglier than him. All these things that she's been telling me.
Did you know that The Sexiest Man Alive came out?
Really?
Yeah, guess who it is?
Fat Perez.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, it wasn't him?
No.
Who was it?
John Krasinski.
Oh,
I can't
deserving.
Say his name, but yeah, he's really cool. But okay, so there's Steven and Riley, the pommel horse guy.
Oh yeah.
Alona, the rugby player. Joey. Chandler, the girl that's a dancer. Chandler and Brandon. And then who was the last person? Oh, Danny Amendola.
Oh, I'm going with Riley.
Dude. It's not that I don't love Riley and Steven, but Joey.
I'm not going for Joey.
Why?
Because
he was the bachelor.
I'm jealous.
And you're jealous?
I'm jealous of the guy. My fiance is just all over him all the time.
Okay. Literally, this is the first day I've talked about it.
I'm just kidding. It's
because I listened to a Joey podcast that he was talking about Dancing with Stars.
I actually like Joey. I think he's kind of cool.
I think he's so good.
I watched him in a couple golf YouTube videos, which was fun.
I was not a big Joey fan, and I didn't even watch his full season. Like,
yeah,
I watched
you were
a couple
such a
episodes.
Big hater of that.
I don't know. I don't love The Bachelor, but I love everything that comes with The Bachelor, like
big
making an event out of it. Like, my whole family watches it together. We have snacks. Like, it's fun. Mm-hmm. So I've started to like The Bachelor. And I like listening to podcasts about it and stuff. I like hearing people talk about it. I think it's fun to hear other people's opinions and takes and stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't invested until Jen's season when we started watching it with friends. And yeah, so I didn't even really like Joey that much. Not that I didn't like him. I just wasn't invested in his
plot. We've gotten
to
know a lot more about Joey post-Bachelor.
Yeah. And so I've like, he's really, when I saw him dance and like just his heart for dancing and then his heart for Kelsey and it was sweet how he like struggled to be intimate with another girl in a dance because he was like, it's just weird. Like, I only like Kelsey. Like, I don't know. It's just, he seems very loyal, very kind, and he's also very talented and works hard. So
yeah, he does. That's why I'm team Joey.
I've been team Joey since day one, but also team Reggie. But then Reginald, that was really emotional for me. But you're team Riley and Steven?
Yeah.
Are you team Riley and Steven because of Steven or because of Riley?
I think Steven's funny.
Oh, he is funny. But I think this is my prediction. Well,
I had my favorite guy's not on there anymore because Dwight? He got in trouble. No.
He got in trouble.
My favorite dancer from last time.
Oh, we don't need to talk about that.
What's his name?
I remember, but we don't need to talk about it.
Okay.
Because we don't know if it's true or not.
No, I wasn't going to bring up what he did or what he did not do. Oh. I was just going to say he was my favorite, but that now he's not on the show.
Yeah. Anyways, but this is how I think the eliminations are going to go. I think, so this is getting uploaded
tomorrow.
On Tuesday when the next thing will come out. So tonight, I think, sadly, I say with a regretful heart, Alona is going to get eliminated.
The rugby player?
Mm-hmm. Then next week, I think it's going to be Danny. And then the next week, I think it's going to be Steven.
No, they're winning.
And top two is going to be Joey and Chandler. And
Chandler's the one that's been a dancer before. Uh-huh. So the cheater.
I think.
We're going to just call her the cheater.
No, don't say that. And then
cheating.
I am calling it right now. Joey Grazadeh is going to win Dancing with the Stars.
I didn't know that was his last 34. Name.
Or 33. Season 33?
I don't know.
Yeah, Joey Grazadeh.
I'd have an opinion about, like, I don't think you should be able to be on Dancing with the Stars if you have a dance. Like, I don't think, if Abby ever got asked to be on Dancing with the Stars, I don't even think that'd be fair.
I would say yes.
Well, obviously you'd say yes. But it's my dream to be on
Dancing with the Stars. I would love it.
Yeah, you would crush it too.
Thank you. But what they do is they get dancers on, but then they like twist it to say they've never done ballroom before. Because like they've had like Charli D'Amelio, they've had
That's Kenzie cheating.
Ziegler, they've had JoJo Siwa, they've had.
Are they all dancers?
They're all dancers.
Yeah, that's cheating.
But they've never done ballroom.
Let's still have a dance background.
Yeah.
I just think that's not very.
I don't know
fair.
If it's cheating.
It's not cheating, but it's not.
They
fair.
Definitely have an upper hand.
They have an upper hand. It's not very.
You have
fair.
To admit though, it's entertaining.
It's like Barry Bonds taking steroids, and it's like he wasn't cheating. He just had an upper hand.
I don't know Barry Bonds.
He's a baseball player.
Okay, let's get into these questions.
Yeah. First question for Abby: Mike Tyson or Jake Paul?
Who are you picking tonight? Oh, that does come on tonight. I forgot. I need the questions. I forgot. I was like, why is he not reading the questions? And then I forgot that you have to use my phone for it. I'm not a big wrestler girl, but I am really interested in
it's
watching
not wrestling
that. What is it?
It's boxing.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, much? It's not the same.
What's
thing?
The difference?
Wrestling is like you get on the ground. Boxing is just punching.
You can read those, and then if we need more, we can use ChatGPT because I sent you some screenshots on our text messages.
Okay. So we're doing,
this is questions guys are too afraid to ask girls.
And we're going to be completely honest here, guys. We got hundreds of answers from you guys for the girls, like what the girls are too afraid to ask. We have 5 questions here.
I will say though, that the one that we got a bunch of questions on, the girl one, I put that up for like 4 or 5 hours before we filmed. This was up for like an hour, I think.
This has been up for 2 hours.
Oh, yikes.
Okay. So we'll get
I guess
right
that
into
shows
it.
Who listens to us. You have to represent the males.
Yep, I am.
You didn't even talk about the NBA.
All 5 of our guys here. I'll talk to the NBA later.
Okay.
First question is, does height matter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Short kings.
I like to say no, but I think subconsciously, yes. Like, I think no. But I'd be lying to you if I told you it doesn't make me feel comforted that you're taller than me. Like, I love that you are taller than me. It wouldn't be a defining factor. Like, if you were shorter than me, I would still love you just the same.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I'm also kind of like average height for a girl. I feel like it's different for taller girls as well. But I love that like my head fits under your chin. I love that your clothes, like your sleeves are long when I wear your sweatshirts. Like those things all come when you date a tall guy.
But does it matter?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It is a plus, a very big plus.
Is it a preference thing?
I think it depends on what girl you ask. There are definitely girls out there that are like, I won't date you if you're shorter than me. I wouldn't say I'm personally like that. I don't think people should be like that. But I do think subconsciously, I will say it affects how I am physically attracted to people, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been attracted to people that are shorter than me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
That's what I'll say on that.
This is a good question. Do girls notice when we put effort into our outfits?
I'm the wrong person to ask this question to.
That's why I wanted to ask you.
I would say majority yes for people like me who go out in red shorts, blue top, and flip-flops with a beanie. I would say no. Because, like, I didn't even notice how Ryan really dressed. Like, I knew he had good style, but I didn't notice, like, specifics about it. But when talking to my friends, they are like, oh, I love a guy that has that, like, I'm trying not to use the word aesthetic because you've roasted me today for using the word aesthetic. Video? No, I didn't. I'm trying to coin the term unaesthetically aesthetic.
It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. So I'm trying to make it make sense. Just like qua doesn't make sense, or lit fam doesn't make sense.
Quad.
Or qua.
Qua, what's that?
It means you're like good looking.
Huh?
Yeah, I learned that.
Since when?
Since I saw a TikTok about it.
Is that like new lingo?
Yeah, it's like what the kids are saying. They qua? Say like qua, they say skibbity.
So what if I
they
said
say Ohio Riz.
You're qua.
Then that, I think it's like you're good looking, or you look presentable.
So
or
I would
something.
Say you're looking qua?
I think. I hope this isn't something like nasty.
That would be funny.
But yeah, a bunch of my friends, they're like, oh, I love a guy that dresses, they say like Nashville city style. And I know what that, like, it's like the baggy cargo pants with like the like messy hair, or like,
oh,
I don't know. Or yeah,
I just threw up in my mouth.
So I think it just depends on the person. I don't think there's a blanket yes or no, but
okay. I would say that I feel like girls do notice that most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But did they say, does it matter? Or did they say, do we notice?
Do girls notice?
Oh, yes.
When we put effort into our outfits.
Oh, yes. I think I was answering the question of like, does it matter? I don't think it matters, but definitely. I think every girl notices 100%.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of times where the girl will be like, don't worry, we'll fix him. Like, meaning the clothes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can style him.
That's how I felt about you.
No, that's true.
How do girls draw hints to guys?
Oh, I just want to say also, I wore this sweatshirt like either last week or the week before, and I don't care. I love this sweatshirt. I'm wearing it all the time.
All right. How do girls draw hints to guys they're interested in becoming more than friends? How you be dropping hints? Because this is good, because I feel like if a girl was asking this, it'd be like the guy should just be more clear. But you typically girls want to try and drop hints and not like be the one that like pursues that initially.
Should I answer this in like the classic Christian girl way or in the more mainstream girl way?
I would just do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I was speaking like, I don't want to say like Christian culture wise. If I was speaking in the way that I would advise someone in the church, like one of my girls.
I actually have an opinion on this too.
Do you want to say yours first?
Yeah. I mean, I think the best way, or how do girls drop hints? Oh, well, I don't know how girls do, but I think the best way for a girl to, I'll just say this, is just to tell the friend. Tell their friend to tell their friend.
Yeah, it's worked for us.
Yeah, I think it has 100% success rate.
I think it depends on what age, though. I feel like it's different when you're older, you're in your career, like, than it is in high school.
Well,
like, I wouldn't want my friends in high school to know who I like, because girls can be messy. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And again, it depends on who you
trust.
That's
girl code right there.
But also, like, there's a difference in me going to one of your 25-year-old friends who is developed frontal lobe head and me going up to him and being like, hey, Sally, like, told me that she, you know, thinks you're cute. Like,
you should try it out.
You should ask her on a date.
Yeah.
There's a very big difference in that. And then me going up to 16-year-old Todd, who's like, hey, Sally told me that she likes you. And he's yeah, like, whoa. There is a difference.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So I do think there's a difference in age on that.
How do girls usually drop hints, though?
When I was in high school, what I would do, oh my gosh, I would do a lot of like the shoulder touching and just like, not like sexual, but just like, oh my gosh, like that is so, you're so funny. And like touch the shoulder.
Really?
Yeah. Or I would, I don't know. It's hard with girls that are friendly with everyone because you can mistake being friendly with flirting. And vice versa,
mm-hmm.
of like, oh no, she's just friendly. She's not flirting.
Yeah.
But if you want like obvious hints, honestly, texting is a big one. I hate to like use that as a reason to like get a gauge on if someone likes you. But if you're consistently keeping up
like a if conversation,
yeah.
Consistently.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Like, when I was younger, I would play those games of like, oh, they waited 30 minutes to text me. Yeah, so now I need to wait 30 minutes.
That
to
is a mental back. Illness.
Oh my gosh, y'all, give it up. Like, stop. Just stop.
The culture has equated time of response with the same as like how much somebody likes you or yeah. loves you, which is just, it's a mental illness.
Delete Snapchat. Just delete it. Like, people.
It's a great piece of advice.
Right just there. Delete Snapchat. But if I was talking to someone in the church who it's like, I'm really serious to date someone who I want to marry and I don't want to get involved in even going on a date with someone if I don't see like this potentially going further,
mm-hmm.
then I would say that the hint to drop would just be like honestly speaking to the guy like what to look for from the girl if she's interested with you and that's the situation. Honestly, my hope is that she's making it clear that you're the only guy she is engaging in conversation in.
Engaging in conversation? Are they not allowed to talk to somebody?
No, but there's a difference between me going out of my way to go talk to you we were at our college ministry, right? When we met, me going out of my way to go talk to you and meet you and like say, oh, hi, blah, 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 blah. But if I do that with every single guy, it doesn't, like, I wouldn't do that. Like, there is a difference between how a girl interacts with someone that she likes
mm-hmm.
and then just like her friends.
Yeah.
I think there is a certain level of nervous energy of heightened
what a girl
personality.
Do,
that's what I'm saying. It's in your conversation. It's how you speak. Like,
oh.
if it seems like she's kind of nervous or a little awkward or doesn't have a lot to say, probably means she
true.
Likes you.
If she's being, if you feel like she's being awkward, she probably likes you.
Yeah. And like, if she's just kind of like standing near you, like we've seen,
just
you
hovering.
Know, just trying or like looking over, eye contact is a big thing. Like if y'all are making eye contact, it's not in your head. It is not in your
it
head.
It could be in your head.
It's not, I don't think it's not,
sometimes
not
it's in their head.
Not in a church setting.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to like the church way now.
What's mainstream?
Well, mainstream, I would say snap. Y'all snap. I would say.
Delete Snapchat, y'all. Like, for real.
I would say mainstream would be like the flirty, like here and there. Kind yeah. of like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a practical example of like.
Emojis.
I don't know. Driving places together.
Emojis.
Yeah, I would say mainstream is just more so like.
Kissy face.
On the phone. Anything on the phone,
smirky
really.
Smirky face.
Yeah.
Winky face.
But for the young high schoolers listening, it's just flirting, honestly. Like, you can just tell, I feel like. It's just hard when you're younger because you start receiving attention for the first time. And so it's very easy to mistake liking someone with liking attention.
Mm-hmm.
So my encouragement for our younger listeners is really get a gauge on, do I really like this person and their morals and what they stand for and what they hold valuable? Or am I just liking the attention I'm receiving? And also, am I representing myself in a way that I want to be treated? Because the way you make it known, like if like you set the standard by how you make it known to the other person. And I'll wrap it up here because I'm going on a little tangent. But
you kind of are.
If I go up to Ryan and I'm like super playing games with his mind and trying to like beat around the bush of telling him that I like him, but also trying to drop hints. Like, you're going to start the relationship already confusing, and you're not going to be able to feel like you can ask the questions of like, what are we?
Yeah.
But if I'm just clear and saying, hey, like, you want to go get coffee? Or, hey, if you were to ask me out, like, I'd say yes. Or even like, hey, this is a great conversation. Like, we just had this is an awesome conversation, or whatever. It removes a lot of confusion and sets the standard for him to be like, oh shoot, she's really upfront with me. Like, okay. I feel like when you're younger, both parties kind of want to like match each other's energy a little bit more. But 100%. When you're older, you're more confident in your choices.
Yeah. So. Okay. This is a good question.
Are you going to ask it? This is a good question.
What does a long period pause feel like?
I couldn't tell ya. Is that why you paused?
Yeah.
No, I have had my period. I just haven't had it in a long time, but I still do have the feelings of it. Actually, for me, it's different for all girls, but for me, physically, it is just like cramping. You feel bloated. You feel like you have a lot of water in your belly. Like, it just feels like you chugged like 2 Dasani water bottles.
Dasani's super, the worst water you could buy.
Okay. Anyways,
don't you agree?
I don't know. I just drink tap water.
Dasani and Aquafina are the worst waters.
Okay, but it just feels like you just chugged like 2 bottles of water and then jumped up and down like 10 times.
Ugh.
Yeah, it is super bloated, and also you get like the period poops and stuff. So it's just like not fun. Your lower back hurts.
It's bloody.
What, a period?
Period poop?
No, you just poop a lot.
Oh.
Like, I know, a sign for me that my period was coming was I would poop a lot the day before. But emotionally, you're just kind of all over the place. I would get really hungry. The day before my period, I would like not have an appetite at all and not be hungry. And then the day I would get my period, I would be like starving. And then a couple days after, I would be hungry and not hungry at the same time. It was such a weird feeling. Yeah. So it's just, you just feel very out of your body and also just very self-conscious, and it's just not fun. And then once you're past it, then you feel on top of the world and like a shining star. What does your period feel like? Men do have periods, actually. They just don't, it's not blood.
No. Anyways, do you admire a guy after he chooses to be vulnerable and bear it all in front of you?
Define admire.
Okay, do you find it attractive when a guy is vulnerable?
Yes, extremely.
So why did you find me attractive?
Because everyone has stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you've been through. You've been through something, you have something.
Yeah.
There is something there.
Yeah.
And I feel like, now I will say, if it's like you're constantly, oh my gosh, it can get overwhelming. Again, there's probably your match out there for you. That's not something I need, because I'm more so on that front. And I need someone to kind of be like, okay, you need to chill now. Which is another reason why I was attracted to you, because of that. But I do think you find me attractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are attracted to me. I would say part of the reason, because I am vulnerable and open about how I feel. Question mark.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more attracted. I was more initially attracted to just like your spirit.
Which that is a part of my spirit, I guess.
Yeah.
But we have grown a connection through vulnerability and me being able to be like, please tell me how you feel. And you being like, oh, someone wants to know that.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And so I would just say that, like, it's the same reversed. Like, if I'm someone who's very quick to shut off and you're someone who's more vulnerable, like, that those are very good pairings together. And so I feel like girls love when guys are open about how they feel. And it's so, it's been stereotypically, it's just drilled into guys, like, don't cry, be the man. Like, what does that even mean? Be the man, like, be tough. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 2024. Being a man is being in touch with your emotions. Like, we need to start leading in a way that lets people and women in relationships know, like, if you want to be a good leader as a male, let the girl know she's valid in feeling her feelings by showing that with your actions and also feeling your feelings.
Yeah. Like, if you, I think there's a little bit of a line though to where you need to be able to control your emotions.
Yeah. But that control is also sharing them.
Yeah, that's true.
Sharing them doesn't mean... That's a good point. Yeah, sharing them doesn't mean like... Thank you. It doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, Abby, I'm... Sharing them
can, I do that like every day.
Being vulnerable isn't always like, ah, the world is ending.
That's a good point, yeah.
Being vulnerable can also just be like...
You know what I've learned too?
What?
Is being like being vulnerable doesn't have to be some like big... ordeal.
No.
You know, and the more I realize that I can just share anything, I have a lot less like blow ups.
Exactly.
And like a lot less like my emotions are a lot more steady whenever I realize that I can just share something in the moment.
I feel like both of us are most vulnerable on this podcast.
I don't know about that. For me?
Well, no. I would say we are maybe not most vulnerable, but we are extremely vulnerable on this podcast. Yeah. I'll say that. Like, we talk about a lot of things and then we get up and we move on, you know? So it's not a big earth shattering thing. I feel like it can feel very daunting for guys, but, yeah, I would say like a guy being vulnerable only makes you being vulnerable only makes me more attracted to you.
Hmm.
So,
what
and does, I would say all girls agree.
What does a godly man look like? Like, what is it? What does it mean?
You're looking at him.
What does it mean for someone to be a godly guy?
I think it is shown with your actions. I think it is heard with your words. And I think it is felt with your spirit and who you are. And there isn't a certain equation or format to achieve this like godly man title. I think it's all about intention. And I think the root of it starts with your intimate relationship with the Lord.
Mm.
You can't, as a guy and as a girl as well, this goes both ways, but like a godly opposite in a relationship, you can't formulate that. You can't formulate it, period, but if you try to build that in hopes to get the other person, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's not an intimate relationship with Jesus.
Your motives are off.
Exactly.
Like, and it's basically just managing what your perception is of everybody else. That's not what Jesus intended.
And
us
so
to
I
be.
Think what a godly man looks like, honestly, is just a man that has a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus and doesn't feel like he has to prove it to anybody. Mm. It just naturally, you can naturally see it. If a man has a godly relationship with the Lord, you don't have to. As a male, my encouragement to you is like, you don't have to think of, are they seeing that I'm a Christian? Are they seeing that I love the Lord? Because if you genuinely have an intimate relationship with Jesus, your spirit will show that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work to show people that.
Yeah. I would just say too, like,
just be yourself.
Yeah. What do you talk about? Like, I would just ask the guys that, like, or the girls listen. I'm assuming there's more girls listening, wondering, mm-hmm. like, what does a godly guy look like or whatever? What, like, the guys that you're hanging out with, the guys that you're going out on dates with, what do they talk about?
Right.
Because whatever they talk about, whatever's coming out of their mouth is usually what they're feeding. And what mm-hmm. they're feeding is who they are.
Right. And for the guys, like, it just goes back to that. Like, if you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, it's going to naturally seep into your conversations. Like, you aren't going to have to think about, like, okay, it's just genuinely going to be there.
Like,
go ahead.
I think about what I talk most about and... What I talk most about is the NBA and the Lakers, if I'm talking to friends.
Hmm.
I spend a lot of my time watching the NBA and following the Lakers. That's what I feed. I feed that. So it's going to come out of me eventually. So whatever, if they're feeding on the word and they're feasting on God and they have an intimate and their relationship with Jesus is filled with integrity, they're going to talk about Jesus and they're going to ooze godliness.
Yeah. I also feel like there is a misconception of godly men being like cringy or like blah, X, Y, Z. Like, well, first of all, I'm going to say if it's cringy to love Lord, then find the cringiest guy, you know, like, right. You know, but also I think it doesn't look a certain way. What are you doing?
I was just fixing my mic.
Oh, sorry. That was kind of rude. Yeah, the way that I asked, yelled at me. That was a little tone. Well, the table leaned all the way over.
Fully tabled.
Sometimes when we have these little like side comments, I fear for the listener and not the watcher because they can't see what's happening. And then I'm just like, what are you doing? And then the listener's like, what?
Yeah. Not they probably anything. Understand
though. Anyways, resuming. But, well, cringy. But yeah, like there's not a certain way to do it. So like one person's cringy might be another person's perfect match. Mm. And it doesn't mean all godly men act the same. All men don't act the same. So there's not an example of like, oh, this is what to do to act like a godly man. So I don't know if I really can answer your question other than get rooted in the Lord, have an intimate relationship with him, and then he'll guide you. Like, you don't have to help God out. You know, like the closer you get to him, the more you'll be like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's the beautiful thing about, you know, God's creation is that we're not puppets. We're not his, like, we're not just all soldier cadets that are look exactly like him. And we're not like robots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what makes God's creation and us so beautiful is that we are all different. Personalities are different. Emotions, all the things are different. And that's why people become married, is because they find the person, you know what I'm saying, that they want to hang out with a lot and have good chemistry with and all the things.
I will say though, just speaking to the social media side of things, a girl is going to go straight to your Instagram. That's the first thing she's going to look at. If she like hears your name or like, hey, I think you and this so-and-so would be a great match, she's going to go to your Instagram. So like practically and just in today's world, I would really evaluate what your Instagram feed looks like and what your social media looks like, because girls, any guys listening, that is the first thing that girls go to, and they go deep. But they look at the things you were tagged in. They look at the things you have posted from 4 years ago.
See, but here's the thing though. Some of the greatest people I know don't have social media, or they don't post on social media a lot.
That's fine.
I know.
That's
a green flag. But I'm just saying though that what you're saying, sometimes, you know, people could have taken that the wrong way, is all I'm saying.
Oh yeah, you don't have to go out and get an Instagram.
I know. That's why I was telling you, like, you don't have to create this perfect bio. That's not what Abby's saying.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
We're not saying your Instagram is like has to be this perfect dating profile. No,
you don't have to put a Bible verse in it. You don't have to put a whatever. I will say though, like,
you should be following That's Life Potty. I mean, that's probably the biggest green flag you could have.
I'd be lying to you if I don't know what you had in your bio, like Child of God or something.
Don't act like you don't.
Is that what it was?
You know.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, you know what it is. That's why you just said it.
Well, I meant at the time. It was like a year ago. But what I'm saying is, like, I'd be lying if I told you. Like, when I went and looked at your Instagram, that was the first thing I saw. And I was like, yes. So it does have an impact.
Yeah.
I will argue that. And, like, I searched and I saw your picture of where you got baptized. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he loves the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that because you have a Bible verse in your bio, that means he's a godly man and you should date him. But it did affect how I viewed you. I'll own up to that. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it did affect how I viewed you.
I wouldn't say it's wrong. I would just say that
it has an impact.
It has an impact, and it's not like the ultimate. Like,
yeah.
Let your opinion of somebody, leave your expectations at home, and let your opinion on somebody be what it is whenever you talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're around them.
Yeah. I guess that advice more so how it apply to like maybe just the person who's kind of posting willy-nilly stuff.
You know what song I've been listening to on repeat?
What?
Who else?
Sing it.
Who else is worthy?
Why did you just get shy all of a sudden?
Because I'm not a good singer. Abby always tells me how bad I am.
No, I don't. I never have said that.
Abby tells me I'm horrible all the time.
When have I said that? I literally have said he's actually pretty good. Anytime anyone ever asks me. No,
you said I was tone deaf.
But I've never said that. See, Ryan has the rude humor. And so since I don't have the rude humor, he has to pin it on me to have the rude humor so that it evens out.
No, she did say that I have like bad harm. You said I had something that was bad.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said that I always go really high then low or something.
Oh, yeah, but that's not bad. I didn't say it was bad.
What does that mean?
I just said that like...
Like what is the words that you used?
Like when you sing the melody... of a song, it's just funny, like your range when you sing it is like so like example, like the song, the way the line goes is who else is worthy, da 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 da, right? And you'll pop off and you'll be like, who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
I'm trying to catch all the ranges.
Yeah, it's just funny, like it's the concept of like just these are the notes within this little parameter, and Ryan's like, so let me go to the highest and the lowest.
You know what, whenever you're singing a song, like, do you try and mimic the person singing it? Like, you do try and sound like them?
Mm-mm.
I do that. I try.
Do you?
Yes. I thought everybody did. I asked somebody that the other day.
Do you do that when I lead worship?
I try and sound like whoever is singing.
What do I sound like when I sing?
It just depends on what you're singing.
Oh, it sounds different for whichever song?
Well, I feel like sometimes you're a little higher and sometimes you're a little lower.
Oh, yeah. But that's the song.
Yeah. And I'm trying to mimic whoever's singing it. I don't.
But are you trying to mimic where they're singing it, like the high and the low? Or are you trying to mimic the way their vocal quality and like the how they form the words and like what they say? Like there's a difference in the way I sing and the way Savannah sings. Savannah's a girl at our church.
Yeah.
Savannah has that like raspy.
Oh, no, like... I don't try and be raspy. I just try and mimic their high and low.
Okay, so what Ryan is saying is that he tries to sing the notes to the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
To the music people listening, that's going to be really funny.
Okay. Well, ha ha.
Hey, listen, everybody.
That was a great episode.
This was a great episode.
We love you guys so much.
We really, truly do. And now we're going to finish vlogging. And I may go so to here's the deal, hospital guys. Because I may have a concussion.
Here's the deal, guys. Vlogs coming out every Friday. Podcast obviously comes out every Tuesday. And we're excited. I don't know where I'm going with that. But I just wanted to let you guys know we're excited.
Here's a rundown of everything we do. I post 3 to 4 times on TikTok every day. I post once a day on LTK. I post 1 to 2 times on Instagram every day. And then everything usually from TikTok and YouTube goes or on Instagram goes on YouTube Shorts. A vlog every Tuesday. No. Or a vlog every Friday. A podcast every Tuesday.
And I'm just letting them know. Stay tuned for all that because it's really exciting. Weekly vlogs are here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really trying really hard to make them good with Abby.
Mm-hmm.
We're both he's, really putting in the work.
He's the idea and cameraman, and I'm the editor.
Yeah, and Abby's doing a great job, and we're really trying to, you know, make videos that people like. So I just wanted to let people know that.
Thank you. And then we also post on our personals too.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see the fit checks, I post a lot of fit checks on my personal.
You Instagram. Do. You need to let's mix in like. Another human being on there. We're getting a lot of selfies.
I just posted a selfie with you.
I'm just kidding.
Goof. Anyways, hey, listen, guys, we love you so much. And this has been so fun. That's hopefully life. I don't have a concussion.
And Jesus loves you too.
We love you. And Jesus loves you.
Peace.
And that's life.